Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cinema Wave podcast. We are back this time a little bit late, but we're discussing Twisters, starring Glenn Powell, Daisy Edgar Jones, and Anthony Ramos. I am one of your hosts. My name is Darian Scalamoni. I am joined this time by Liz Seiko.
Hello.
As well as Zach Miller.
Howdy.
He's our resident tornado wrangler for this episode, but yes, I feel like we're definitely late to this party because everyone has seen this movie, which is the big narrative with this because, though it is a movie based on IP, the original film came out in 96, Bill Paxton, Helen Hunt. This movie has a really big driving force behind it, especially financially. It's making a lot of money, and a lot of people are seeing it still has a lot of staying power. I think it came out 2 weeks ago, and I had a chance to see this movie finally last night at 10 p.m., and when I got my ticket, it was an empty theater, and then by the time I got there, every seat was taken. So young audiences still want to see this movie. I know older audiences want to see this movie because they're just interested that it might have a correlation with Twister. I never have seen Twister, the original movie, and what? I was intending to watch it before I saw this, but now, because I know that you guys have seen Twister, I'm glad that I can provide the perspective of not having seen it.
Yeah,
wow. But Liz, just broad overall thoughts on Twisters. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so opening thoughts is I went into this film with very low expectations, actually, because I'm kind of over Hollywood doing remakes. I also haven't really been loving some of the remakes that have been happening just because I feel like it's another way for them to just make money and they're not really putting creative twists on them. But I was super happily surprised at this film. I had a great time. Is it perfect? No, I think it was a little bit predictable at points, but that's probably because I saw the original. And so there were moments that I was like, oh, I wonder if they're going to go this route. And they ended up going that route. But I don't know. It's a fun movie. Like, I really had a good time watching it. I think overall the cast is really, they have great chemistry with each other, which this film needs. I loved the 1996 film also. And so for me, it was nice to see the points of the storyline where they changed things, but then also the points where they were putting homage to the 1996 film and in little moments. It wasn't like they actually copied and pasted the entire plot, but there were little oh, I know why they're doing that or why they said that. Overall, I really had a good time.
Zach, what were your thoughts on the movie?
I really liked how they, they didn't run away with, they kind of paid reference to the original movie, but they didn't have to directly make it derivative piece. Like, they had those elements of the two teams of weather chasers and they're both on their own plan and that kind of thing, but they decided to come up with a new concept of, combinations of weather and science and that kind of thing in this modern age. And I also liked how they had a flip of the ulterior motives of the protagonist and Glenn Powell. He has a different change in his character halfway through without getting into spoilers yet. But I feel like there was a lot of good new substance, and especially with disaster movies, you go into a disaster movie with lower expectations on the plot. So you're kind of like, all right, what is this cast going to give me? Is the story going to be entertaining? Is the action going to be good? And that's kind of how I went into it, because the last movie I saw in theaters before this was Long Legs. So I'm sitting down for a very artistic, thought provoking story with that one. This one is not that at all, which is okay. It's two different movies, two different audiences too. And I think that's what's really working for people is you have very bankable actors right now and a familiar storyline. So I thought that was really great.
Yeah, I had the same sort of reaction with this movie that I had coming out of The Nice Guy. That's what it's called.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Fall Guy. And what you were just saying, Zach, it's good to see that there are fun movies that are being made that also have a little bit of anything extra. It could be in The Fall Guy. I thought what really worked was the chemistry between the two leads. In this movie, that wasn't the driving thing for me, but ironically enough, and I remember reading when Lee Isaac Chung was brought on to direct this movie, and everyone was like, why is this his follow-up to Minari, which I never had a chance to see, but I've heard it's incredible, and it's a very personal story to him mm-hmm. and his upbringing. But he was someone that grew up in Oklahoma, even though he's an Asian American guy. And having that background knowledge and that extra layer that we get in Twisters, that again, I haven't seen Twister, so I don't know if that's in the first film, in terms of like the environmental stuff and the impact that tornadoes have on communities and on people. That was something I really appreciated, that added a little bit of an extra layer to this movie that made me enjoy the bombastic aspects even more, because it added a different layer to what the story was. The big standout to me in this, not surprisingly, was the leads, Glenn Powell and Daisy Edgar Jones. This is my first time seeing Daisy Edgar Jones in anything, which is, it was interesting coming into this, because I know that she's probably best known for Where the Crawdads Sing, which made a ton of money because of the book. And then Normal People was a big show for her, and Paul Mescal it was, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, which kind of made them rising stars in of their own right. So interesting to see her in sort of a big budget film and see how that would take her, but I thought she kind of grounded a lot of it, and she did a really great job, except for some minor things with her accent, which we'll get into later. But Glenn Powell, and I think you said this in your Letterboxd review, Zach, he plays the same character somewhat that he does in Maverick, but the thing is, I believed this character more than I did in Maverick. Like I think that this was a little bit more of I hope this isn't his range. That's what scares me about him. Like I don't know if he's capable of more, and he's becoming this rising star that is cast in everything nowadays, and he's already gotten offers for so many things. But he's also said he's not going to do Marvel. He's not going to do DC. He doesn't want to do Star Wars. He wants to try to take these old ideas of IP and repurpose it. And with Twisters, he's doing that. And then he's doing a remake of The Running Man with Edgar Wright soon. So, but I did like him a lot in this movie. And I liked his character of Tyler. What was his last name?
Tyler Owens.
Yeah. Tyler Owens. So yeah, I did. I had fun with this movie. But is there anything else we could talk about before we get into spoilers, or...
I don't think so. I just kind of like going off of what you're saying too, with just Glenn Powell is like, you know, to kind of add off of what you're saying, the Hitman was like a good shot at, you know, he plays different characters, he has to do different backgrounds as all those different hitmen, but you know, respectfully to Glenn Powell, I feel like a lot of his roles have been filtered down to the hot shot, attractive, charming guy, you know, and I feel like that's a consistent playing field for him.
He's like the modern day Dukes of Hazzard, like reincarnated. Like,
I don't know what that is.
Like the old TV show Dukes of Hazzard, like from the 60s. It's like, I don't know. Like even so, what was, oh my God, dude, it's like one of the biggest movies. Robert Redford's in it. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. So he got cast to redo that Amazon as a TV show. It never ended up getting made. Gosh. I think it's in development, but it's like, those are the roles he's going to play. He's like exactly what you said, like the hot shot, hot guy. And it is funny. It's like, this is has nothing to do with the movie, but it's like in talking to people that I know are casual movie fans that have seen this movie already, I was like, oh, like, what do you think about Glenn Powell? And they're like, he's so hot. And it's like the first response of every female I know. And that's great. And that can get you so far. But at the end of the day, it's like, there's something that separates people from like Ryan Gosling comparatively to like Zac Efron to a point. I mean, we've seen Efron was so good in The Iron Claw, but it took a lot of years for that to happen for him. You know what I mean? And Gosling is an attractive face, but he also can challenge himself in terms of these deeper roles. And like the three roles that stick out to me, and I haven't had a chance to see Hitman yet, so I can't comment directly on that. But Twisters, Top Gun Maverick, and Everybody Wants Some. I like Glenn Powell in those movies, but he is basically the same character in all three of those movies.
And the rom-com that just came out with Sid Sweeney.
Anyone But You,
which I haven't had a chance to see, but the other one I did see with him in it, again, same character, is Set It Up, which was a rom-com on Netflix, which I love that movie. And I think he's like, he just embodies what McConaughey was before McConaughey started challenging himself.
That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So,
or he's just going to be the new generation's Tom Cruise.
That's true too.
But even Tom Cruise, like Collateral, is, I don't know if Glenn Powell has Collateral in him. It's unfair to say that because he hasn't challenged himself enough to do that.
I think he's still just trying to make a name for himself and be like getting enough films, which when you're first starting out your career as an actor, they say stick with what you know. And so he's definitely sticking with the films that will get him, one, the most money, and then two, the biggest fan base, so that he can probably go off and start producing films that he actually feels passionate about, so that he can then play roles that are in his wheelhouse that he know he'll do good at.
Yeah. I think he's like one A24 movie away from being like the artsy guy and becoming like a Timothy Chalamet type.
But it's funny that you bring that up, because I think we talked about this on one of our past news episodes, but he got cast in an A24 movie that's filming right now. Okay. And he plays a con man. And it's like, that's what he shouldn't be doing. That's too on the nose.
Maybe he just like wants to do his lane and knows his lane and is like, this is, I just want to, because he said, he's come out and said, he's like, I just like making movies. Like, this is what I want to do. I just enjoy doing this. And so he might not be trying to have a wildly rangeful career. He might just be like, I just want to keep working.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true. I mean, it took him, people forget this. Now I've been seeing it everywhere on social media, but he was in, his first movie was Spy Kids 3.
I know.
Yeah. So adorable little Glenn Powell. Cute. But
I don't dislike him.
I don't dislike him either. I don't.
He's not your favorite though, DJ.
No, I don't think that's true. I like to see, you know how like in music, it's like when you have a musician and they try something different, everyone's like, oh, like why? Just stick with what you know. Yeah. Like I like when artists take challenges and risks. And if it doesn't work, then fine. I get it. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work, then you go back. But I just feel like he's taking this approach, and he has now. And this is the thing, because now he's at a place where he's making it's very obvious that he's a bankable star at this point. Like Top Gun Maverick wasn't necessarily him, right? It was a major IP and Tom Cruise was attached to it. Anyone But You was big. And part of that might have been Sydney Sweeney. But now you look at Twisters and the movie's doing incredibly well. And he's one of the two leads of it. You know, and I know people saw Where the Crawdads Sing, but I would argue Glenn Powell's a bigger star at this point than Daisy Edgar-Jones is. And I think that he has an opportunity to do something like what Paul Mescal is doing, where it's like he's doing Merrily We Roll Along, but he's also doing Gladiator 2, and he's also doing limited series. And I'm not saying he's the same level of actor. I'm not saying that.
I think it's just too different. I just get the vibe that Glenn Powell wants to be like an American blockbuster actor,
an American boy,
an American boy.
Yeah, I get it too. I do.
Like Paul's trying to.
There's so many different.
He's
things.
He's like an artist. Yeah. He's probably trying to like find things in like deeper meanings. While I think Powell is like, I just want to make great movies that are gonna last a long time, that are gonna make people enjoy the theater again.
Yeah. I think that's a fair point.
Anyway, should we get back to the movie?
We can get back to the movie. No, I love that aside. Great aside, everybody. But no, I don't dislike him as an actor. But all right, we'll get into spoilers. So again, if you guys have been watching this long and you haven't seen the movie yet, what are you doing here? Get off the video, come back, go see the movie. I think we all recommend going to see it.
I loved it.
Especially in the theater. Yeah. So we recommend seeing it. Go see Twisters. And then after that, come back, return to the video, and hear our spoiler thoughts. But you guys have been warned. We're going to talk spoilers right now. So again, the big theme with this movie is that it's fun. The movie is very, very fun. When you came out of the theater, what was your first feeling? Like, if you could describe, I mean, it could be fun. I might have just taken the words out of your mouth, but.
I would say I was just more like surprised that I actually enjoyed it as much as I did. Cause I really went in not with like a sour taste, but just a kind of more skeptical view, because I was just gonna compare it to the 1996 film the whole time. And yeah, so I walked out being like, oh my God, I enjoyed that a lot more than I thought.
Well, give me that frame of reference. It could be either one of you, Zach or Liz. Like, again, I have not seen the 96 film.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie was a major success. And it's obvious why they decided to want to do something
like
this.
Yeah, so like, I'll give you a great example right off of the beginning of how it's similar to the 1996 film, but by doing it slightly different film-wise. So the opening sequence of, what's Daisy's character's name? Kate is with like her team of friends, and they're going to hunt the Twister to try to get like info on it so that they can get money. In the 1996 film, there is a female lead character, and her they mentioned that she's one of the only people that they've all known to have survived a level 5 tornado, but it's never shown on screen. It's only like referenced, and you can clearly see that it's affected her, and like she just has like PTSD from Twisters because she lost her family in a Twister, that she was the only surviving person. So that comparison is here Kate is, and we actually get to see it happen, of her losing all her friends and her being the only survivor of the level 5 tornado. Mm-hmm. So almost same situations, but different
context and time periods.
Yes. Yeah. And they're showing it. And rather than it being a cloud that kind of is overall the film, it's the starting off piece of this film. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Yeah, no, that's really well put too. And then there's like the whole bit with Bill Paxton, and then they have this other rival crew that is trying to do the same thing. But basically, like after all that happens, they kind of dedicate their lives to science, and Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt, they have like a tumultuous relationship, like love story in the midst of all this. And then they basically are trying to create these devices, put them in a tornado, but get close enough to them to track the science of it, so they can, like in the 90s, like that was their technological advancement that like that they were hoping to make in the film at that point in time. And so that's what they like decided to do. But then yeah, there is a lot, like, because you mentioned the thing with the town and the destruction and that stuff, I actually thought that in the first movie they did that a little better, because there's several moments where towns get hit with tornadoes. There's like family members of Helen Hunt that are involved in these tornadoes. And then there's lots of destruction. And then also, just because like the original, they have like so many more practical effects as well. So I loved what they did with that. The ensemble in the original is very, very good. So that was something that I think a lot of people were also anticipating and hoping that it would match that energy. Because there's like Philip Seymour Hoffman, oh my gosh, what's who plays Connor in Succession, and he's in Ferris
Bueller. Alan Ruck.
Yeah. Yes. And then there's so many other people in that movie. Bill Paxton is my G. I love Bill Paxton. And then like, so that movie like is built around the great action, chemistry, pursuit of science. Cary Ewells is the rival other scientist, and he has his gang. So there's just so much going for that movie. The score is brilliant. It's a comfort action movie, and it's like this to get back to that road with this movie was gonna be like big shoes to fill. But so I think that they added a lot of the original stuff without like
copying it.
Exactly. Yeah, without copying it exactly. And then they just made it in their own narrative as well. Like they had bits like the Dorothy machine that was from the first movie.
I kind of figured that. Yeah.
So there's like callbacks, but they did their own path.
What do you guys think they did better in this film comparatively to the first movie? I'm not saying this movie is better. Overall, is there anything that you believe they might have done better in this film compared to the first one, or does it fail to compare? Liz is contemplating.
I'm trying right off the bat. I can't think of anything that this film's better at, unless I'm missing something. But
so you don't like this movie as much as the first one?
No, I would say they're very close, but I maybe just appreciate the first one because like it was so good, and they just it's an original script.
Okay.
You know,
Zach?
Yeah, I feel like maybe the visual effects to a point in this movie of the tornadoes themselves. In the first movie, there was a scene with a flying cow, and that was
like, that was the thing I've heard in other like pods. I went in with this movie blind, so like I avoided all podcasts that had spoilers or anything. But yeah, there was one. I remember one of the podcasts, one of the guys had seen it, and it was just a general movie podcast, and he was like, "Oh, I went to see Twister yesterday." He's like, "How many flying cows were in the movie?" None. And he's like, "There's none." And he was like, "There's no flying cows." And it's like what everybody remembers, like the visual cue that everyone remembers from the first movie.
Well, because it's like an iconic line of like, like just them, because they're doing the same thing. They're all in separate cars, like like talking to each other over the monitors. And they're like, "We've got cows. We've got another cow." And it's just like cows. It's flying, like slow cows. And it's not like they're like, the cows are like dead. They're literally just like cows alive.
They're just
like,
mooing. Yeah, going to past them. See, I thought the thing in the trailer when I first saw the trailer for this movie that was going to be when Brandon Perea's character is yelling, "Twins! We got twins!"
Yeah, so that's that's a line in the original.
Oh, is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, so that's also in it. I would say the one thing that maybe this film did a little bit better, or maybe it's because I'm older now when I'm seeing this, is that they made me see like the beauty in a tornado a little bit more than the first one did. The first one, it's kind of more like scientific and learning to not be scared of this thing, while this, I feel like they actually were like, oh my God, it's nature and it's so beautiful and it can be scary, but let's figure out how it's not going to be scary.
Yeah, well, you get the context of Kate's character and Tyler's character and kind of what forms that bond between the two of them, talking about how Kate, like, as a young girl, like, ran out of her house to go watch the clouds form and see, like, just loved weather. And Tyler was the same thing, where he talks about how he wasn't scared at age 8 to see his first tornado being with his aunt. Like, it kind of adds that deeper sense of why they're doing it, which I don't know. I guess you're maybe saying they don't do that necessarily in the first movie.
No, so like, I'm not that. It's just in the original, the reason that her character starts this pursuit is because when she was like 8 years old, her whole family died.
Yeah.
And the tornado. So it's more a pursuit of fear. Or like trying to figure out how this doesn't happen to other people, while their pursuit starts from a natural interest.
Yeah.
And like a natural.
And beauty and love for what they are. Yeah.
Not just out of trying to prevent catastrophe.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that was a cool aspect of it. You, Zach, you brought up the ensemble of the original film, which, again, I haven't seen it, but I know of like some of the people that were in the film. This one has a ensemble of a lot of either up-and-coming actors or at least characters and actors that you've seen before, like very recognizable faces. Anthony Ramos, obviously, is in this film. He's a little bit on the like higher end of the call sheet, obviously, kind of playing like, there is no real romance. I mean, there is a romantic thing that happens within this film. It is a love triangle, but there's no kissing. There's nothing. Liz, we'll get to it because I know you hate it.
I'm rolling my eyes.
But Anthony Ramos is in this. Brandon Perea, was best known for being in Nope. Maura Tierney is in it. Sasha Lane, Kiernan Shipka, Daryl McCormick, David Corenswet, and Katie O'Brien, who are like, I mean, Katie O'Brien's had like a crazy last year with Ant-Man and then Love Lies Bleeding, and now Corenswet's going to play Superman. So there's a big ensemble in this, Zach, starting with you. What did you think about some of the ensemble characters that we kind of get in the two crews?
I thought it was good, and I liked, you know, for me, the original is like pretty untouchable just with how their chemistry was in the first film. And then I've just watched that original so many times that it's kind of like immortalized in my like childhood a little bit. So, but the new one was still good, and I liked how they did the swap of, you know, they were like the villains at first, and then they turn into these like endearing human characters, and they explain the reason of like why they're selling the shirts, and they're like, we're trying to give back to the community a little bit. And then you also see the swap of Anthony Ramos's character, that how he was trying to do this in the name of science, but really his investor was buying up the land of the storms and stuff like that. So I thought that was a very creative swap that I wasn't expecting, you know, and that was good because it kept me a little bit more engaged, and I was more interested of like how Anthony Ramos would redeem himself eventually by the end, because he did care about Kate and what she was doing. He was just figuring out like where he would go with that. And then I was also interested to see how Glenn Powell would peel back that level of intimacy and just like being a kind person first, like to the community, and not just like the flashy entrepreneur that he is, and trying to sell that market of tornado wrangling.
Liz, what about you? What do you think about the ensemble?
I enjoyed the ensemble. There were a few characters that I think needed more fleshing out, though, specifically Anthony Ramos's character. I think that they just were like, ooh, let's sprinkle in that you kind of like her a little bit.
And he was friend zoned so hard.
I just feel like that so wasn't early. Needed. Like, Like, I don't know. There just was no element of him being attracted to Kate that needed to come into this, because it's also like, so his best friend used to be in a relationship with Kate. So you're telling me all those years ago, like, you were low key in love with, like,
yeah. So how much of the ick did you get when he says, "I would do anything for you, Kate"?
Yeah. I was just like, shut the fuck up. Like, this is not needed right now. No, it literally, I just was like, why are we going this route? Like, there's so many other ways that they could have made his character interesting, or like make it about his trauma. Like, I don't want to lose another friend. Like, I don't want to lose another one of my core people.
Yeah, they have that in one line of dialogue, but it kind of gets thrown away, and I kind of wish they did focus a little bit more on the trauma element of that. Like,
yeah, like, he doesn't want to lose his last long-term friend. Yeah, instead, it's like, I've loved you all these
times. It's like, I haven't talked to you in 5 years, yeah, but like, I know all our friends are dead, but like, low-key, still kind of want to hit it.
Yeah. I thought it was like convenient too that he just shows up at the NOAA science lab too in New York. He's just like, hey, Kate. Like, he's in the conference
room. That was such
a
weird introduction too. Yeah, like being at your place of work and it's like, okay, there's somebody in the conference room for you.
Yeah.
Oh, and then it's like,
wait, actually though, I don't mind it if he then does become the full-on villain. Because then it seems like, okay, his move since the moment that he was reintroduced was motivated by him trying to get something from her. But then another thing that I don't buy, which I think, again, is just from not developing his character fully, is you're telling me that this man who is so intelligent, who is literally learning how to track twisters, doesn't know that the person he's working for is like a con artist or like a scammer that's trying to like take these people's homes.
I didn't get that vibe. I got more so that he
just didn't care.
He didn't care until somebody that he cared about showed him the light, so to speak. It's like giving you the
just needed the funding for his research.
Yeah, for his research. So he was just like, no, he's like, I get it. And like, now I have a moral compass because there's only 25 minutes left in the movie.
It's like, come on. Like, you don't have to, exactly what happened. I just feel like his character didn't need a complete change. Maybe like a slight one, but now, the moment he said, I would do anything for you, I was just
knew it. I knew it was the line. I knew that was going to be the line that got you. No, I mean, I agree. I kind of feel bad for Ramos. And we talked a little bit off screen before we started recording. But he's this guy that they're trying to shoehorn him sometimes into these bigger roles. And I don't know if it's necessarily that. I think he just needs to work with better, like, scripts and better directors. Like, he's going down an interesting path. I mean, I like In the Heights, and I actually like him in the Heights, but the thing is that he's already played that character on Broadway, and then he decides to do Transformers, which is a really bad career choice. And then this, he just kind of gets sidelined. Like, I thought Brandon Perea as Boone was really funny, and I really enjoyed his character. And a lot of people have compared him to like I think in one of the interviews, someone was like, what does it feel like to be the Philip Seymour Hoffman of Twisters? It was like, his character is very similar in the way he acts and things like that. I thought his character was fun. I like that. I don't know why. I've never even seen the guy before. I like the guy that played Dexter. He was interesting to me. I don't know why. But like, I think his name is, I don't even know. I might be butchering his name. Tunde Adebimbe. Yeah. But Katie O'Brien, it was so interesting. And I know it was so, I was so curious what your thoughts were when she pops up, because you just watched Love Lies Bleeding like recently. And it's like, I mean, she's kind of sidelined in this movie, obviously. She doesn't do a lot necessarily, but
yeah, but I also think like having a powerful ensemble changes a whole movie, because it makes people interested in their personalities and their storylines too. And so that allows their one-liners to just have so much more
punch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rather than it being some random background actor who's just like,
someone that doesn't have as much experience. Yeah. Like, this is somebody that's just trying to be a part of a bigger overall thing. I don't know. The film overall, I mean, I didn't have a lot of cons with it. It's not a perfect movie. I mean, again, the hobby thing for me was the thing that stood out a lot, of like just a lot of plot points that I wasn't really that interested in. There's certain I don't think that they're necessarily the strongest actors in the world, Glenn Powell and Daisy Edgar Jones. And I think that might be part of the reason why, like, this is not a perfect movie by any means. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not. But I did have fun with it. I don't know if they're like, it's weird, because I don't know how much more there is to necessarily talk about the movie. We could talk about the relationship between the two characters.
Yeah, I have a couple points to bring up.
Okay.
First is, there was the whole conversation of like, wasn't there a kiss that they cut?
Yeah, so there was a kiss that was in the film initially in test screenings
at the end,
and
I'm assuming.
Yes, in the airport. It was in the airport, which is the last scene. And Spielberg was the one that decided, as a producer, he decided to cut it. he was like, this is the wrong choice for the movie. And you're nodding your head, so I know you're in agreement with that.
I this movie would have dropped a whole number for me in my head if they kissed at the end.
Really?
Yep.
I actually feel similar. Yep. I'm happy they didn't kiss because I didn't get the full vibe of them as a couple. I mean, really? Yeah, I mean,
they don't even know each other. They both just like tornadoes. Like, yeah. What do you mean they're going to have a full makeout session?
The other part,
session?
Too, is that I will say, like, there's certain films in which, like, you're like, oh, wow, I'm like, well, and I would say, honestly, majority of films, if you have two characters that are love interests, they're most likely going to kiss regardless. It's just kind of what happens. But this was the type of movie that I didn't feel robbed that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I know that first of all, Zach's reaction was really meaning I think you might feel differently. But I will say he's laughing now. But there's a part of like there's a community, and I don't spend a lot of time on TikTok, but I know it's a thing on TikTok that like there's a lot of people that are really upset about it. And there's a lot of yes.
Oh, the TikTokers. Oh.
Yes. And then there's a lot of people that are like, this was the right decision. There was no need for these two characters to kiss.
No, perfect. Gorgeous ending. Loved it. Oscar. No, I'm kidding.
I don't think it was like a bad decision to cut the scene. I liked what they did with that little creative, like, you know, he drills his freaking drills into the airport to like middle finger the parking guy. And I thought it was like the classic go get the girl scene.
I thought that was the worst part of the scene. Okay. Ramos like sticks a Cheeto in his mouth. He's like, go ahead, bro. And I'm like, what? Oh, you love this girl 10 minutes ago. 10 minutes ago. Oh, but
he loved her in the barn, and there was the sexual tension in the barn.
No. I'm like, saying, you know? I understand that part of it, but I'm saying, like, you didn't need Anthony Ramos's character being like, go get her.
They went to the rodeo together.
I understand the romantic chemistry between Tyler and Kate. That's not what I'm arguing.
Okay.
The thing I'm saying is, why have that aside of Javi?
Okay.
Like giving him like a nod, like, go ahead, bro, go get her. I'm on your side, bro. Go hit it. And it's like, what the hell is happening? Your whole thing with your character is that you're obviously in love with this girl.
Friend zoned.
Yeah, and majorly friend zoned, which that's one thing. Fine. Like maybe you accept your fate of not being this girl's choice. But then to be like, yo, bro, go get her. It's like you don't need that. And it feels very forced.
No, and I saw weird. Like that Spielberg's reasoning for like suggesting the cut was because they saw the storm in the distance, and that was their mission, the whole movie. So they were focused on the mission and not each other, which, you know, it makes sense. I guess it's just like because it's Twisters at the end of the day.
You wanted to see some lip locking,
Hey, bro, look, the two attractive people, man. You know, sometimes we just want to see some tornadoes happen in the love.
In romance.
You know? Oh, you know, my God.
We'll see the sparks flying, man. Like an F5 speed.
We'll see the twins.
Twins.
Twins. Holy shit.
No, I love that they didn't kiss.
I agree.
It was fine. It was fine. Look, I'm not gonna drop a score over no kiss. I'm just saying it could have gone either way. And but like for a TikToker to be like up in arms about it, it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, it's probably like the younger kids that are like, oh my God, like they're in love. But it's how, like,
and they're so cute.
Yeah, and they're in love. And it's like they don't even know each other. Like, what? She's gonna move back to New York and like just be like,
she's
staying. Come on with me.
I did think it was very interesting that her mother just like lets this guy in the bar, and she's like, I invited him to stay the night.
I thought that part was actually
that was funny.
Comedic gold. I thought it was so funny.
I know it was funny, but I was also like, what the fuck is going on? But what was the other point you wanted to bring up, Liz?
Okay, so the one thing that like kind of for me makes this not a perfect film is it does have the predictability elements, at least for me. But I wanted to ask you, as somebody that didn't see the 1996, is it because, like, did you feel that? Or is it because I saw the original? Do you feel like you knew kind of what was happening or what twists and turns were going to twist and turns? Hey.
Well, see, like, I don't even feel, I just felt like the movie itself was predictable. And I didn't even notice real twists or turns in the movie, except for the fact that the two teams kind of switch sides. And I will say in the very beginning of when that happens, because it happens probably like 40 minutes into the movie and you still have a lot of the movie to go when you start to see things sort of shift with Tyler's character, I kind of didn't buy it. I was like, I don't really see these guys as being good by any means. But obviously then they explain that they have a bigger mission, and Sasha Lane's character goes and gives her food and she's like, no, this is what we do. They're just portrayed as such douchebags, but that's the job of the movie.
Yeah.
So, no, I just don't think it's like, I don't think it's a perfect film because to me it's like, it's not, it's a fun movie. It's not completely entertaining and unbelievable enough for me to like, be like, oh, this, I had like the greatest time with it and I'll rewatch this movie a bunch of times. I don't feel that way when I feel like, and I haven't seen Twister, but a lot of people go back and watch that movie time after time after time. Yeah. And I didn't get that necessarily with this movie. There's characters I like, and I like the relationship between Tyler and Kate and how they decide to go about it. Mm-hmm. But the other part is that it's just kind of a predictable movie. Mm-hmm. Like I just kind of saw things coming. And but I did like certain elements of it. Like I like that it's an action movie without there being punching and kicking. Mm-hmm. Like this is one of my first, like I've never watched a lot of disaster movies. I just haven't.
Yeah.
I love Jaws, which I guess is considered, it's like, it's one of my favorite movies ever made. So that to me is like a great way of doing tension. And I think that was another thing for me too. It's like, and maybe this was just, I didn't feel tension.
You like, didn't feel like anyone not, could die.
No, not really. I really didn't. And the, it's crazy because in the opening scene, like three people die. But from that point forward, I had no fear for any of my characters.
It's just because you know that
something fell in you.
Because you know, like disaster movies too, like usually your leads are pretty safe or like they have those couple scenes. Like they had the water tower scene with Glenn Powell. I'm like, they're not going to kill him.
Yeah.
In this moment. Yeah.
Like, oh, my leg is stuck. Ah, like I've seen that in 8,000 other disaster movies. So like that was definitely the predictability. I did like though, like how they showed more people, like side characters getting like tossed by tornadoes. Like that was crazy.
Wild. What side characters were tossed?
No, well,
Like they just had like civilians just like that didn't happen in the first movie really that you saw really. I think it was just kind of off screen.
Yeah.
And like, the cars.
Yeah. I would say the first one, maybe it's just because I was younger when I first saw it. It makes you think that some of the main characters are more
at risk.
Vulnerable. But I also, again, think it's because they have this overlaying like doom kind of vibe of just like, you should be terrified of these things because they could come at any second.
Yeah.
Although one thing that I did love is that they let her go in at the end to the Twister by herself. At the end, there was a moment where they cut to her getting in the car that I thought that they were gonna have like Glenn Powell's character be like, I'm not letting you go alone, and I was just gonna be like,
don't do that
and they didn't, which I like applaud them that they let her go in on her own and do it out by herself.
Well, I have two, like there's two sides of even that element of it that it's hard for me to necessarily pick away in which I like the fact that they, and I don't know if they do this in the first movie, but I like that they allow the characters to literally drive through the tornado. I think that's such a cool element that is unexpected. But at the same time, to the flip side of that, it's like, well, then they're not going to fucking die. I'm well aware that if they're allowing these characters to drive, plant their vehicle in the ground and stay there and shoot flares in the sky, there's no threat. There's no overlooming threat for these characters in my mind. I never got that sense the whole time I watched the movie.
But that might tell you about the original.
Okay. In case you I do want to watch it.
I won't. I won't spoil everything for you.
But that's pretty much.
What do we think of the soundtrack?
I like it. I mean, it fits the vibe. It definitely fits the locale of where they're at. They're in Oklahoma.
I'm not a country music gal, but I was tapping my toes.
Oh my God. Did you wish that you were wearing a cowgirl hat the whole time you were watching the movie?
Some like,
you got some vibe.
Cut jeans.
I did. I mean, I love Tyler's introduction in the movie. It's like so over the top and so great. So he's great. Like, what's up, YouTube? And I'm like, yes, this is awesome. This is so great.
No, I thought the soundtrack was very fun, very fitting for like a summer movie.
Yeah.
Movie vibe. No, this is a great modern summer blockbuster.
Yep.
I definitely agree in terms of that.
It's making good money.
And I had a lot of fun with it. It's made 200. I have the numbers up. It has made, as of this recording, 225.5 million, and the budget was 155 million. Plus maybe throw in an extra $30 million for marketing. So it's made about $60 million over budget. So maybe or $50 million over budget. So it's making money. I think it's got legs. It's obviously still kind of going forward. And it's a really interesting time in the movies right now. I mean, Twisters is making money. Long Legs is the biggest movie Neon's ever made. Deadpool and Wolverine obviously is just like hand over fist making crazy amounts of money. And there's different options for people in the theaters, which I think is cool. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's some really good comedy in this. There's good relationships, and there's that bombastic energy to all of it with it being a big budget movie. But at this point, I feel like it's time for scores. So I feel like we usually start with us. So I'm going to flip the script a little bit and start with Zach.
Are you going to start with me?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. Just because, you know, it's I don't want to compare it to anything else that's come out this year either, just because it feels like it's a blockbuster. It was a little bit more than I expected going into it. And it was a very enjoyable movie. Clean and easy.
That's crazy.
there was a twister in here. Oh, that's crazy. But yeah, so now I'm going to. Should I bump it up to a 10 so that doesn't happen?
I don't even know what is, guys. I don't know what is happening in the studio.
I don't know.
We don't know what's happening.
All right. Well, maybe I'm done talking after that.
Okay, so 8 for
that.
So 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10.
I can go next. I feel very similar coming out of this movie as I did to The Fall Guy, where I just had an enjoyable time with the movies. If it's on TV, I'll leave it on. It's not something I'm going to go out of my way to return to necessarily. I just think it's a fun movie. But to me, like a fun movie that doesn't get it over the top for me, I'm going to give it a 7.5. So I think it's a really solid movie. I highly recommend seeing it in the theater, especially for the spectacle aspect of it. But not one that completely blew me away. I was just pleasantly surprised, like kind of how you opened up the review, Liz.
Yep. I'm actually right on par with Zach. I'm giving it a solid 8 because I really don't have, like, usually I come into these things with hard hitting negatives, and overall I don't have a ton of negatives about this film. I think it's a great time. I actually might rewatch it when it comes to whatever platform it's coming to. I feel like it's coming to Peacock is where I read, but I don't know.
Yeah, Universal. It's probably gonna go to Peacock.
I think so.
First.
But yeah, I'm giving it a solid 8. I recommend it. I think it's gonna do great for the younger generation too. I think it's going to be some younger people's, like, twister.
Yeah, it's going to have staying power. Yep. Going forward with the younger audience.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that was our full review and discussion on Twisters, the movie that stars Glenn Powell, Daisy Edgar Jones, and Anthony Ramos, directed by Lee Isaac Chung. If you guys haven't already, you guys should check this movie out in theaters, and please be sure to give this video a like. If you guys can comment your thoughts on the film below, please, we'd love to have a conversation with you guys. Things that you liked about the movie, things you wanted to see a little bit more from, definitely let us know in the comments. And if you guys can subscribe to us, we have the Culture Wave Media Network. We cover all things film and TV. We have our review up on the channel currently of Deadpool and Wolverine. We're covering House of the Dragon. We have all our finished coverage for The Acolyte, The Bear, The Boys, a lot of other stuff upcoming, including M. Night Shyamalan's movie Trap. And August, I know there's some things wrapping up the end of the summer. And then September, one of the big shows that we're going to be covering is The Penguin, which is going to be on HBO Max. So look forward to that as well. If you guys don't follow us on social media, you can follow us at Cinema Wave Media and at @_CultureWaveMedia on Instagram, as well as at Cinema Wave Media on TikTok and Threads, and then just Culture Wave on Facebook. Just signing off, I am Darian Scalamoni.
I am Liz Seiko.
I'm Zach Miller.
And we'll see you guys next time.
This is The Culture.